Light breaks over a horizon, gold beams spread over the globe as letters round it. Universal. A strip of film floats through the air, settling into the profile of a mountain. Summit Entertainment. Scar Films. A crowd gathers as a youngish man hawks gold chains out of a suitcase on a London street. His thinning hair and sideburns are cut short. He wears a duffel coat with a scarf tied round his neck.
Right, let's sort the buyers from the spires, the needy from the greedy, and those who trust me from the ones who don't. Because if you can't see value here today, you're not up here shopping, you're up here shoplifting. You see these goods? Never seen daylight, moonlight, Israelite, fanny by the gaslight. Take a bag, come on, take a bag. I took a bag home last night, cost me a lot more than £10, I can tell you. Anyone like jewellery? Look at that one there. Handmade in Italy, hand stolen in Stepney. It's as long as my arm. I wish it was as long as something else. Don't think because these boxes are sealed up, they're empty. The only man who sells empty boxes is the undertaker. And by the look of some of you lot here today, I'd make more money with me measuring tape. Here, one price. £10.
Did you say £10?
Are you deaf?
That's a bargain. I'll take one.
Squeeze in if you can. Left leg, right leg. Your body will follow. They call it walking. You want one as well, darling? You do. That's it. They're waking up. Treat the wife. Treat somebody else's wife. It's a lot more fun if you don't get caught. Hold on. You want one as well? OK, darling. Show me a bit of life, then. It's no good standing out there like 1 o'clock half struck. Buy them. You better buy them. These are not stolen. They just haven't been paid for. If we can't get them again, they've changed the bloody locks. Here, one for you. No good coming back later when I've sold out. Too late will be the cry when the man with the bargains has passed you by. And if you've got no money on you now, you'll be crying tears as big as October cabbages. Bacon cousins!
Gears chucked into the suitcase as the police appear. A chase, the peddler and his accomplice Leggett just ahead of the two PCs to a flight of steps. The accomplice reaches the steps.
Ed can hustle a few quid here and there, but his real talent lies in cards and gambling with cards.
The peddler stops short, spilling his suitcase all over the steps.
Bacon could see that his days of selling moody goods on street corners are numbered. It's time to move on, and he knows it.
Ed and Bacon continue to flee. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, written and directed by Guy Ritchie. Ed, the accomplice in the market scam, walks into a small grocery shop where two men are talking.
Look, what are you talking about? I'm bloody skinny, pal.
Yeah, yeah, of course you are. All right, Ed.
Nick the Greek, always a pleasure. Tom, what have you been eating?
I've been telling him this.
Enough already. You two, join me in my office.
Tom's got short red hair, Nick's fat. Ed has dark wavy hair.
So, how much is it then, Tom?
You know how much it is, Nick.
And that includes the ham, yeah?
No, that does not include the amp.
Tom pushes a sliding door.
Shit, Tom, I thought it included the amp.
Well, it doesn't. I'll throw in one of these telephones if you like, but it does not include the amp.
Very nice.
Nick chucks it to Ed.
I hope it includes the speakers.
It doesn't include the speakers. It doesn't include the amp. And it's not supposed to include me getting the amp at your stupid questions. Now you want it, Nick. You buy it.
What else do I get with it?
You get a gold-plated Rolls Royce, as long as you pay for it.
Don't know, Tom. Seems expensive.
Seems. Well, this seems to be a waste of my time. That is 900 nicker in any shop you're lucky enough to find one in, and you're complaining about 200. What school of finance did you study? It's a deal. It's a steal. It's sale of the fucking century. In fact, fuck it, Nick, I think I'll keep it.
All right, keep your Allens on.
Nick reaches into his pocket and produces a very fat wad of notes.
It's a ton.
Jesus Christ, you could choke a dozen donkeys on that. And you're ogling over £100? What do you do when you're not buying stereos, Nick? Finance revolutions?
£100 is still £100.
Not when the price is £200, it's not. And certainly not when you've got Liberia's deficit in your skyrocket. Tighter than a duck's butt, you are. Now, come on. Let me feel the fibre of your fabric.
Nick's money moves from his fat wad to Tom's fat wad.
The skinny one is Tom, and he's the entrepreneur of the bunch. He's got a couple of dirty little fingers and a couple of dirty little pies. Nick here, however, has made it his business to have all 20 fat little fingers and toes in every dirty, bent and stolen pie in London. Between the two of them, there ain't much you can't get hold of.
An oven opens and Tom pulls out a tray of money and turns to Ed.
That's my 25 grand. It's all there. It took me a long time to earn that, so you treat it with respect. What about the chef?
Sliced carrots are dropped into a pot of water. A chef wipes his hands before a counter holding two pigs' heads. As he slices some meat, Tom, Ed and Bacon walk in.
What have you come as?
Cupid, stupid. That's the last time I'm getting any more fruit off of you, Tom. Do you call that fresh? There was more small, airy, armoured things in your fruit than there was fruit. You should open a butcher's, not a grocer's.
Well, if you will order stuff from Kamandul, don't be surprised if it picks up a few tourists en route. Anyway, enough about that. Where's the money?
Oi! Keep your fingers out of my soup.
Soap is called Soap because he likes to keep his hands clean of any unlawful behaviour. He's proud of his job and even more proud that it's legal. He represents the more sensible side of the floor.
Soap, the chef, throws a bag of notes down on the counter. Ed's eyebrows rise.
You sure you can afford 25? That depends on how you look at it. I can afford it as long as I see it again, if that's what you mean. Got the rest from the fat man and bacon?
Fat man, bacon and myself. Looks like it's time to make that call to Harry.
Tom.
Who's this fat man then, eh? Hey?
The others ignore him.
Do you want a sandwich, bacon?
A pink sign hangs above Harry's sex shop.
It's not easy to take a seat at this card table. The amount of money involved has to be 100 grand upwards, and there's no shortage of punters. The man who decides whether you can play or not is this man, Harry. Or as some, including himself, like to call him, Hatchet Harry.
Ed's on the phone.
You got it all?
Ed shoves the others away from the phone.
100 grand.
Well, if you got it, you got it. Now, if you don't mind.
Sexual devices cover Harry's desk.
What's this Eddie like, then?
He's a fucking thief.
Harry has a colleague, a monster of a man, Barry the Baptist. The Baptist got his name by drowning people for hatchets.
Are you gonna fucking pay?
No, are you gonna fucking pay?
Barry makes sure the administrative side of the business runs harmoniously.
The boy's got a rare ability. He seems to make cards transparent. He's got bluffing.
All right, so we can say he's good?
Oh, no, he's better than good. He's a fucking liability.
Here, hold on. What do you think of these? We're selling hundreds.
A paddle.
Very nice, Harry. What's it for?
Oh, don't play innocent with me, Bazza. Spanking.
The four lads disappear into a green-doored building next to a minicab station in a dingy corner of London. Next door, five men gather, then disappear into another green door. Inside, Bacon complains as Ed counts the cash.
It's 25 from me, Tom, Soap and yourself. It's 100 grand to the pound. So why the fuck are you counting it?
Because I like to. So a reasonable return should be in the region of 120 grand. That's for 25 grand invested, going on previous experience.
Going on optimism.
Whatever it's going on, it should be enough to send you on a cooking course.
Soap reacts.
You're not funny, Tom. You're fat and look as though you should be, but you're not.
Fat? Who are you calling?
Jesus!
A lamp.
Good in here, isn't it? Handy for the tube, great electrics. I can see why you moved in.
Don't knock it. It's cheap. Like the budgie.
And nobody wants to live next to the people we live next to.
Bacon.
A bit antisocial, to say the least.
What do you mean?
He means they're thieving bastards.
I mean, when they're not picking peanuts out of poop, they rip off unfortunate souls if they're hard-earned drugs.
Bacon puts his hand to his finger as he and Tom walk to a door.
Not exactly thick, these walls.
Bacon opens the door, revealing a cupboard. He and Tom listen to what's going down at the neighbor's. A rough-looking man behind a desk hands money to a man with a ponytail.
Is that it?
How many times do I have to tell you, Plank? You find a job worth doing, you'll find your share improving.
Have you got a problem with it?
Charlie?
Bacon shuts the door.
Police and thieves in the street.
A man wanders through a jungle of marijuana plants smoking towards another who's holding a test tube.
You know, Charles, this gear is getting heavier. I have a strong suspicion we should have been rocket scientists or Nobel Peace Prize winners. Something.
Peace Prize? You're lucky to find your penis for a pesty man you keep smoking.
The smoker takes another hit as Charles pours the dark contents of a test tube into a beaker.
What the hell's that?
Charles walks into a barred cage which surrounds a front door. He opens the door to a tall, lanky man supporting a young woman.
All right, Willie?
Does it look like I'm all right? Take this.
Willie hands over a plastic sack.
I'm in danger of breaking sweat at any second.
Another man.
Charles, why have we got that cage?
The three face him.
Security?
That's right, security. So what's the point in having it if we're not going to fucking use it?
Well, I would have used it, Winston, but this is Willie. And Willie lives here.
Yes, Charles, but you didn't know it was Willie until you opened the door, did you? Chill, Winston. It's me. Charlie knows it's me. What's the problem?
Winston shakes his head.
The problem is, Willie, that Charles and yourself are not the quickest of cats at the best of times, so just do as I say and keep the fucking cage locked!
The girl Willie's supporting appears unconscious.
What is that?
That's Gloria.
Yes, I know that's Gloria. What's that?
The plastic sack.
Fertilizer.
You went out 6 hours ago to buy a money counter and you come back with a semi-conscious Gloria and a bag of fertilizer. Alarm bells are ringing, Willie.
We need fertilizer, Winston.
Mm-hmm. We also need a money counter. This money's got to be out by Thursday. I'm buggered if I'm going to count it. Oh, and if you do have to buy sodding fertilizer, could you just be a little more subtle?
Winston draws him aside.
What do you mean? We grow copious amounts of ganja, yeah?
Yeah.
And you're carrying a wasted girl and a bag of fertilizer. You don't look like your average horta fucking culturalist. That's what I mean, Willie.
He pats Willie's face.
One, two, get down!
A fresh-faced lad stands in front of a neon sign reading Tan Tropez Solarium. A car stops in the road near him. He walks to it, leaning in the window.
How long's it been in there, son?
About 20 minutes.
The driver nods.
He's on his own?
Yeah, just carrying a bag.
The driver nods again, looking around.
Let's pay him a little visit then, shall we?
The tall, hard-looking man gets out.
Big Chris settles debts for Harry. The only thing he cares more about than an unsettled debt is his son and heir, little Chris.
Father and son, both in black leather jackets, enter the solarium. No one sees! Little Chris peeks into two rooms, then finger to lip, signals his dad. Big Chris lifts a lid.
This is one of them eye power jobs, isn't it?
A man in goggles.
Got some bad news for you, John.
What the fuck?
Mind your language in front of the boy.
Jesus Christ!
That includes blasphemy as well. Now tell me, John, how can you be concentrating on improving this lovely tan? And it is a lovely tan, by the way, when you've got more pressing priorities at hand.
Tell Harry. I mean, Mr. Harry, I've been busy. I'm nearly there.
Check his locker, son.
I don't suppose there's any chance of you lifting his sunbed up, Chris, is there?
Chris lifts it, grinning.
It's not poor. He's got over a monkey here, and that's just in his wallet.
Fucking hell, John. You always walk around with that in your pocket.
Oi! You use language like that again, son. You wish you hadn't.
Sorry, Dad.
Right, we'll put the rest of the stuff in there.
Chris opens the lid.
You can go home on a plastic bag tonight, John. You owe what you owe. And by the time this tan's faded, you want to have paid.
Big Chris thumps John, a neon sign, JD's bar. Soap, Bacon and Tom are having a drink.
You never want to pay. Who would pay for shit?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we certainly...
Eddie walks in and the other three stare.
Well, what the hell are you doing here?
Why, what's up?
Let me guess. My foot in your ass. Game of cards? Hatchier Harry? You're supposed to be getting your rest in, boy.
From across the bar...
You playing cards tonight, son?
Eddie looks innocent.
With Harry?
Oh, don't be silly, Dad. I wouldn't have anything to do with that.
Eddie leaves and his father stares searchingly at the other three, who nod and smile unconvincingly. Harry and Barry in the sex shop.
Where did he get undergrad?
He's got some adhesive mates. I mean, they're like brothers. They've tossed up between them.
And JD is his dad and owns the old property.
No mortgage, no debts, lock, stock, a fucking lot. Don't you worry, Harry. I've got it under control.
Good. You can get this under control now. It seems that Lord Appen Smythe has run out of money and these little beauties are up for auction.
Guns.
But I'm not paying £250,000 for them, if you know what I mean, Barry. Make sure we get everything from inside the gun cabinet. I don't want to know who you use, as long as they're not complete Muppets.
He leans forward.
And don't tell them what they're worth, Barry.
Barry turns his attention from a writhing exotic dancer in leather thong to the two men sitting opposite him.
Right, where was we?
Shotguns. What, like guns that fire shot?
Oh, you must be the brains in. That's right, guns that fire shots. Make sure you bring everything from inside the gun cabinet. There'll be a load of old guns. That's all I want. Everything else outside the cabinet, you can keep. It's yours.
Oh, thank you very much. There'd better be something there for us.
It's a fucking stately home. Of course there'll be something there.
Like what?
Like fucking antiques.
Antiques? What the fuck do we know about antiques? We rob post offices.
And steal cars.
What the fuck do we know about antiques, mate?
If it looks old, it's worth money. Simple. So stop fucking moaning and rob the place.
So who's the gov? Who are we doing this for?
You're doing it for me. It's all you need to know. You know because you need to know.
I see. One of those on a need-to-know basis things, is it? Like one of those James Bond films.
Careful. Remember who's giving you this job.
The crooks exchange a look.
Right, I'm off. Call me when you're done. Ta-da.
Barry walks out of the bar, talking to himself.
Fucking northern monkeys.
The crooks watch him leave.
I hate these fucking southern fairies.
The other crook makes a rude hand gesture as the two watch the dancer. Eddie lies on a sofa, eyes closed.
Ed has been playing cards since he could lift them up. And he soon discovered that he had a big advantage. It's not that he's good with cards or even good at counting them. It's that he's good with reading people's reactions, no matter how subtle. And everybody has reactions.
Eddie's right hand deftly shuffles a deck of cards.
Especially when it comes to money.
Eddie's eyes snap open at the knock. Later, he carries a leather holdall, leading the other three lads down a back street. They stop in front of two heavies guarding a door.
Invitations.
Invitations?
Yeah, invitations. You know, four pretty white pieces of paper with your names on.
Well, we've got 100,000 bits of paper with a queen's head on. Will that do?
All right, just you. The others, they can wait next door in Samoa and Joe's.
Samoa and Joe's? You mean the pub? Hold on.
Hold on to your fucking tongue, and I will hold on to my patience, OK, sonny? No one in here tonight but card players, and I do mean no one.
Later, Eddie walks into a gym where a card table is set up inside a boxing ring. Three men sit around it. Harry and a blonde woman are also there.
Evening, Fraser. Don, Phil. It's a bit dramatic, isn't it? Is this supposed to be symbolic?
Apparently it's for security.
Yeah? I'd have bought me gloves if I'd have known.
You must be Eddie, JD's son.
You must be Harry. Sorry, didn't know your father.
Never mind, son. You just might meet him if you carry on like that.
Eddie looks at the blonde.
Evening, Tanya. Been a while.
Hi, Ed.
The lads approach Samoan Joe's pub. A man on fire runs out the front door. The lads seem largely unimpressed and go inside. Under cover of night, the two northern crooks tiptoe towards a stately home carrying a satchel. At the front door, the small one addresses the one with masses of curly hair.
Right. We call each other Kenny, okay, Gary?
All right, Kenny.
You gonna put your stocking on or what?
I just spent £120 on me, eh? If you think I'm pulling the stocking over it, you're very much mistaken.
You're gonna have to put something on.
Gary works on the lock. At the card table, Tanya deals.
This is three card brag, gentlemen. That means three threes are the highest, then three aces, then running down accordingly. Then it's a running flush, a run, a flush, and then a pair. An open man can't see a blind man, and it will cost you twice the ante to see your opponent. Now, don't fuck around, fellas. You all know the rules, and you know I won't stand for it.
At the stately home, the small crook, a fishnet stocking over his face, a torch in his hand, precedes Gary, who's larger inside. As they walk around, exploring the high-ceilinged wood-paneled room, the small one sees Gary take a large animal tusk and tuck it into the satchel.
What are you doing? Put that back. What are you here to rob the guns? Put it back. It's crap anyway. Come on. Come ahead.
Two pairs of trainers creak up expensively carpeted stairs. Followed by a pair of slippers. In the pub.
What sort of pub is this, then?
It's a Samoan pub.
He serves them.
What's that?
A pineapple top.
Cocktail. You asked for a cocktail?
No. I asked you to give me a refreshing drink. Wasn't expecting a fucking rainforest. You could fall in love with an orangutan in there.
You want a pint? Go to the pub.
The friends exchange looks.
What thought this was a pub?
It's a Samoan pub.
But whatever it is, can you get your man to turn the TV down?
You can ask me if you like. If I was you, I'd leave him well alone.
Yeah, get rid of that. Bring the Diet Coke.
Excuse me, can you turn that TV down?
Bacon stares at a black man with an afro watching TV who eventually returns the stare.
No.
They hold the stare until he turns his attention back to the TV. Soap and Tom. A lighter is held beneath bits of paper stuck between toes.
Whoa, Kenny!
The short thief questions Gary.
What are you doing?
I am trying to find out where they keep their money!
Gary's tied up an elderly couple.
You twat, can't you see these people have got no money? They can't even afford new furniture. We've got the guns, what's the matter with you? Every time we do a job, you have to go burning people's feet. What's wrong with you?
Another old man falls over after firing at them. The short thief looks out the doorway, then steps on the shotgun the old man's trying to aim as he lies on the floor.
You want to be more careful, old fella. You very nearly took my man's head clean off with that. You all right, Kenny? Kenny?
Wide-eyed, smoke rising from a deep parting among his curls, Gary leans against a bedpost. Eddie places a bet.
$10,000, blind.
Harry considers.
$20,000 open.
Another player.
Deep end, eh? Fold.
As all eyes turn to Eddie, across the room a camera well hidden within a recess in the wall waits for a peek at Eddie's cards.
Gotcha.
A 9 and a 10 are showing. The numbers are relayed to Harry via a wire attached to a tiny hammer, which taps on his leg, unseen under his trousers.
$20,000, open.
He looks at Harry.
I'll fold. Don't go spending that all at once, boy.
Eddie rakes in the chips. Barry's behind the spy camera. His phone rings. It's the small crook.
God. What?
I thought you said there'd be no staff, Barry.
Did you get those guns?
You want to see what they did to poor Gary?
He calls out of the phone box.
Gary!
I said, did you get those guns?
Yes! We got them!
Good. I'll speak to you later.
Barry hangs up.
Gary, if you can hear me, get back in the car now, mate, okay? Barry! Barry! Fucking southern shandy drinking bastard! Gary!
Back at the poker table. The four men continue to play as Tanya deals and Barry watches from his hiding place. Chips are moved, cigarettes smoked, drinks poured, and bets laid. Eddie continues to rake in the chips as the other players smile. Only Harry looks unhappy. Fire, One player throws his cards down and climbs onto the table. Tanya points to the door, and the bouncers show him out of the gym. Barry's having problems with his screen.
Oh, come on. Not now, please. Not now, you fucking bastard.
The picture goes for a moment. At the table, Eddie takes a look at his cards, a 10 and a pair of sixes, as does Barry.
Easy, bastard. Oh, my good God. We'll take you to the cleaners.
Barry signals Harry, whose eyes widen.
$20,000. Open.
Harry responds.
$30,000. Back to you already, Eddie.
Harry grins.
$50,000.
A player turns to Harry.
$80,000.
$100,000.
Whoa. Look, fellas, I know...
I know you're not in, which means no one cares what you know. $250,000.
That's quite a raise. That's 150 on my 100.
Yeah. And is there anything else you want to say?
As you know, this puts us in an awkward position. I don't have enough to continue.
We will have to see both your cards. If no one loans Eddie the money to continue, it's a loan or we see both your cards.
Eddie looks at the other players.
I will.
Tanya and Eddie register surprise at Harry's offer.
You will what?
I will loan you the money.
Eddie stares, mouth open.
No, I think I'd rather just turn him over.
I'm not interested in what you would rather. I want to keep going. I'm also offering you the money. So we don't have to turn him over because you can borrow.
Eddie frowns.
I need $250,000.
No, you need $500,000 to see me.
That's if I want to see you.
Well, you're going to have a problem carrying on, aren't you?
I'll see you.
Okay, before I loan you this, I expect, if you lose, of course, my money back within a week. Crystal, that's Sunday, okay?
The muscles in Eddie's jaw work. The other players watch as Harry slides a 7 into view. Harry smiles slightly and looks up at Eddie, who shows no emotion. Another 7. And finally a 4. Eddie looks stunned.
Is that it?
Now let's see these fucking cards.
Eddie lays down 2 sixes and a 10. Eddie gets up from the table, unsteady, practically reeling. He throws his jacket over one shoulder.
So messed up! I want you here! In my room! I want you!
A sweat showing on his forehead, Eddie makes his way through the boxing ring ropes.
Now we're gonna be face to face.
Empty-eyed, punch-drunk, Eddie keeps walking.
And I lay right down in my favorite place. And now I wanna be your dog.
He leaves the pub, leaning momentarily on the light post before stopping to throw up.
Now I wanna be your dog.
He walks slowly, eventually meeting Barry, who's waiting for him.
Hello, boy. Feeling a bit poorly? I know your friends are responsible for most of the cash, so I'm going to give you 1 week to find it. Otherwise, I will take a finger of each of you and your friends' hands for every day that passes without payment. And then when you run out of digits, your dad's bar, and who knows what then. All right, my son.
Later, he makes his way into Samoan Joe's, where the other three wait, not looking too good themselves. He stands behind them, his mouth open. Bacon turns and sees him.
This doesn't look good.
Bacon nudges Tom asleep on the bar and all turn to Eddie.
He then proceeded to explain the unfortunate position they were in. Harry was going to start sizing up all their fingers in a week because he knew there was no way Ed could settle that debt on his own. Harry saw it as their money on the table, so it was also their debt off the table. Ed would hate to admit it, but he could have kissed the old bastard for that. If he said he wanted to settle the debt on his own, it would have been a lie.
I wish to Christ he would have let me settle the debt on my own.
Tom stares.
I'm going to kill him. Stop fucking about, Tom, and think about what we're going to do. Now sit down.
Tom settles down and Bacon picks up his tipped chair as Soap has an idea.
What's all the fuss about Harry? Why don't we just boycott the payment?
Bacon and Tom look at Soap in disbelief.
Let me tell you about that, Harry. Once there was this geezer called Smithy Robinson who worked for Harry, but it was rumoured that he was on the take. Harry's invited Smithy round for an explanation. Smithy didn't do a very good job. Within a minute, Harry's lost his rag, reached out for the nearest thing at hand, which happened to be a 15-inch black rubber cock. He's then proceeded to batter poor Smithy to death with it.
Soap thinks this over.
Now, that was seen as a pleasant way to go. Hence, Hatchet Harry is a man you pay if you owe.
They turn as Eddie speaks.
Don't worry, I'll think of something.
The other three leave him, and Eddie stumbles alone that night, still looking dazed. The mean-looking neighbor whom the lads have overheard tees up a golf ball.
Golf. The best way to spoil a good walk.
Standing in front of a fake forest backdrop, he swings.
Winston Churchill said that. I say it's a dog-eat-dog world. And I've got bigger teeth than you two. I think our friend is trying to tell us something.
An upside-down view.
Perhaps not. Perhaps I should take another swing just to make sure. Give me a five iron, John.
Certainly, dog.
A bound man hangs upside down, an orange in his mouth.
Now keep still.
A bloodied man lies on the floor, the tea in his mouth. The golf ball ricochets.
Yes, Gordon, is there something you'd like to tell us?
The orange is removed.
It's in the fireplace! Shut it, you idiot! It'll kill...
Dog clubs the man on the floor.
Yes, Gordon, you were saying?
It's in the fireplace! Just pull it out! It's in the bottom!
It's in the fireplace, Plank. Just pull it out! It's in the bottom!
Oh, dog! I think you want to have a look at this!
Plank holds a plastic bag full of money and drugs.
You're going to let me down now?
Nah. I'm not finished with you yet.
He turns to another man.
Still.
He's handed a metal bar.
Help!
Dog heaves the bar at the hanging man.
Help!
The others look away.
Oh, dog.
Winston, Jay and Willie are watching TV.
Who the hell's that? It's only 12 o'clock.
Use the cage, that's what it's there for.
Willie reaches for a phone.
Who is it?
He hangs up and buzzes them in.
We have got security for a reason, Willie.
Chill, Winston. It's only Plank.
He comes upstairs.
This weed's getting quite wet, you know, fellas. All right? Easy. Jesus.
Plank sat on Gloria.
Never saw you there. Hello, love. Enjoying yourself?
She doesn't move.
Is she compass?
What do you think?
Plank moves close to Gloria's face.
Boo!
He falls, spilling money.
Fuck me.
Clean that up, Charles.
So do you. You clean it up.
Sorry, fellas, but that stupid cat scared the fucking life out of me.
Never mind. Can you just sit down? Stay out of the way?
Plank sits next to Gloria on the sofa.
Look, how much is it you want?
After an half weight.
Right, well, that's 1,500 then. Pass the scales, Willie.
Willie passes the scales.
Give some gear, Jay.
Jay passes a plastic bag.
Any chance of actually seeing the money?
Plank digs in his pocket and chucks some wads onto a table. Elsewhere, soap, Tom, and bacon.
The odds are 100 to 1. All his we need is $5,000.
I'd rather put my money on a three-legged rocking horse. The odds are 100 to 1 for a good reason, Bacon. It won't win. Where's Eddie?
Where do you think? The bottom of a bottle, and has been for 2 days. It's hit him hard.
Yeah, it's hit us all hard.
Yeah, but he's got to tell his dad he's about to lose his bar.
Listen to this one. You open up a company called Arse Ticklers Faggots Fan Club.
You what?
You take out an advert in the back page of some gay mag, advertising the latest in arse-intruding dildos. You sell it with, I don't know, does what no other dildo can do until now. The latest and greatest in sexual technology. Guaranteed results, your money back, all that bollocks. Now, these dills cost £25 a pop. That's a snip for the amount of pleasure they're going to give the recipient. But they send their checks to the other company name. Nothing offensive, Bobby's Bits or something for £25. You take that £25, you stick it in the bank until it clears. Now, this is the smart bit. You send back the check for £25 from the other company name, Arse Ticklers Faggots Fan Club, saying, well, you're sorry, and we couldn't get the supplies from America because they run out of stock. Now, you see how many people cash that check? Not a single soul. Because who wants their bank manager to know they tickle arse when they're not paying in checks?
Bacon nods.
So how long do you have to wait till you see a return?
Probably no more than 4 weeks.
A month? So what fucking good is that if we need it in 6? No, 5 days.
Well, it's still a good idea.
Jay's ironing money.
You may know we smoke a lot and burn a bit of profit. You can't have any idea how much hard currency we've accumulated. I don't know. Do you know? You can just slice it off the top.
Winston.
You guys got to realise who this chap is. He might look a bit silly, but he's a fucking lunatic. And if he gets the slightest inkling we're not throwing straight dice, then you and me are going to know what the sharp side of a kebab knife feels like.
Dog.
So you know these guys as well?
Well enough. I've been buying gear off one of them for a couple of years.
So what are they like then?
Puffs. Nothing heavy. 4 public schoolboys off the shite.
Eddie comes into his house. He walks listlessly, taking his coat off as he goes. He opens the door to the cupboard and hangs his coat inside.
They talk around in funny hippie clothes all day, talking bollocks. They're just good at grand weed, that's all. Business has got bigger than what they can hear up with.
Eddie's listening.
They can't all be stupid, can they?
Think about it. They've got a container load of cash in shoeboxes.
They're selling Class A gear. Don't you think there might be someone sensible involved? What about security?
There's one steel gate as you go in, but they never lock it.
What do you mean, never lock it? What they got it there for, then?
I must have been there 50 times. It's never locked. They're not suspicious. Everyone who goes there's a toff. They're all into that karma crap. If I don't arm nobody, nobody arms me stuff.
No way they can get back to you?
Even if they could, they'd be too shit scared. I'm a geezer. I got no muscle. Cutlass faggots.
Dog holds up a joint.
Fancy one?
Tom, soap and bacon face Eddie.
What's all the flapping about? You told the old man yet?
Hoping I won't need to. I've got a plan. Now listen carefully.
Harry's upstairs at the sex shop behind his desk with one of the rifles when Big Chris and Little Chris come in. Barry's in his usual place behind them.
Hello, boys. Harry. Do you want a drink?
Hello, my son. Do you want a lolly?
Piss off, you nonce.
Oi, watch it. No thanks, Harry. We're both all right. Nice shooter. Yeah, one of a pair. Holland and Holland. Do you want to hold it? Nah, not my thing, thanks, Harry. Business good. I imagine that's why I'm here.
4 young fellas got in deeper than they could handle. They owe me £500,000.
How much?
£500,000.
Bacon to Eddie.
I'm game.
Eddie looks at Tom.
Me too.
Soap's less convinced.
Oh, God. Right. We hit them as soon as they come back. We'll be prepared, waiting. And they're armed.
What was that? Armed? What do you mean, armed?
armed with what?
Bad breath, colourful language, feather duster. What do you think they're going to be armed with? Guns, you tit.
Guns? You never said anything about guns. A minute ago, this was the safest job in the world. Now it's turning into a bad day in Bosnia.
Soap, stop being such a mincer. I've thought about that, and...
And what, exactly?
And all we have to do is find out who's carrying them.
Carrying them? Well, they could all be carrying them, for what we know.
No. Only one of them carries them going to the job. So I assume the same one will be carrying them when they come back from the job.
Oh, you assume, do you? And what did I say about assumption being the brother of all fuck-ups?
It's the mother of all fuck-ups, stupid.
Well, brother, mother, any other sucker. It don't make any difference. They're still fucking guns, and they still fire fucking bullets.
Soap, if you have a better idea how to get £500,000 in the next few days, let us know.
Eddie's eyebrows rise.
In the meantime, Tom, you talk to Nick the Bubble about shifting the weed.
Tom nods. Later, Nick the Greek and Tom are together by a fruit machine.
Weed?
No, it's not normal weed. It's some fucked up skunk class A. I can't think, let alone move shit.
Doesn't sound very good to me.
Well, neither me. But it depends what flicks your switch. And the light is on and burning brightly for the masses. Anyway, do you know anyone?
I know a man, yes. Rory Breaker.
Not that madman with an afro. I don't want anything to do with him.
You won't have to. Just get me a sample.
No can do.
What's that? A place near Kathmandu. Meet me halfway, mate.
Look, it's all completely chicken soup.
It's what?
It's kosher. It's Christmas.
The Jews don't celebrate Christmas, Tom.
Yeah, well, never mind that. I'm going to need some artillery, too. A couple of sawn-off shotguns.
This is a bit heavy. This is London, not the Lebanon. Who do you think I am?
Thinking it the Greek. Hold those two.
Rory Breaker, the Afro man from Samoan Joe's pub.
I don't normally have anything to do with weed, Nick. But if it is what he says it is, I'll take it off him for £3,500 a key. That is if it is what he says it is. I don't want to see it after a sample. I don't want to touch it after a sample. I'll leave you in the capable hands of Nathan here. He'll sort out the details. But just let me tell you one thing. If the milk turns out to be sour, I ain't the kind of pussy to drink it.
He stares solemnly, then breaks into a smile.
Do you know what I mean?
Nick nods and puts his glass down, shattering a table. Tom and another.
Rory Breaker. Rory? You know Rory. He's not to be underestimated. He's a funny-looking fucker, I know. But you've got to look past the hair and the cute cuddly thing. It's all a deceptive facade.
A flashback.
A few nights ago, Rory's Roger Ryan rusted.
TV.
He's gone down the battle cruiser to watch the end of a football game.
Down the pub.
No one's watching the custard, so he switches the channel over.
On the telly.
A fat geezer's north opens.
Mouth.
And he wanders up and turns the Liza over.
The channel.
Now fuck off and watch it somewhere else.
Remove yourself.
Rory knows claret is imminent, but he doesn't want to miss the end of the game. So calm as a coma, picks up a fire extinguisher, walks straight past the jam rolls who are ready for action, and plonks it outside the entrance. He then orders an Aristotle of the most ping-pong tiddly in the nuclear sub and switches back to his footer.
He orders vodka.
That's fucking it, says the geezer.
I've had enough.
That's fucking what, says Rory. And he gobs out a mouthful of booze covering Fatty. He flicks a flaming match into his bird's nest and the geezer's lit up like a leaking gas pipe. Rory, unfazed, turns back to his game. His team's won two. 4-0.
Barry the Baptist is pacing down a back street, checking his watch. Hands in his pockets, grimacing impatiently, he eventually meets up with Gary and his short mate Dean, who stand by a car.
Oi. Did you really suppose to look like that? All right, short stuff.
Never mind short stuff. Listen, the next time we do a job like this, we're going to want more money, buddy, or we're going back to post offices and cars. Fuck that.
Where's the others?
Pointing to guns in the boot.
There was no others.
Stop fucking around. The others, the old ones.
I don't know what you mean.
People threw old guns there. Where are they now?
Not in the cabinet, there wasn't. Oh, there was a couple of old Amalok muskets the butler was carrying. But they were ours. We sold them.
Well, you better unsell them, sharpish.
We had to sell them. We needed the money.
I'm not fucking interested. If you don't want to be counting the fingers, you haven't got. I suggest you get those guns. Quick!
a rear view of Nick the Greek. He stands in the drizzling rain and lights a cigarette. Glancing around, he leans into a red van and comes out holding a long object wrapped in cloth. He walks confidently into a large garage where Tom is waiting for him. He puts his bundle down, unwraps it, and stands back.
Jesus.
Two old muskets.
If I pick them up, they stay in one piece. Where'd you get them?
I got contacts. Listen, Tom, you point them at me, I'll shit myself or do whatever you say to do. Either way, you get the desired effect.
Oh, they look very nice, I agree, but... Well, they're lacking in criminal credibility, aren't they? I might get laughed at. How much do you want for these muskets?
700 each.
Oh, what's that? A pound for every year they've been about? I know they're antiques, but I ain't paying antique prices.
He looks down at them.
They're a bit long, aren't they?
It's all nosed around. People want a bit more range these days.
Range? I don't want to blow the arse out of this country, granted. But I don't want anyone blowing a raspberry at me either. I want to look fucking mean.
Of course you'll look mean. You'll look really scary.
Anyway, enough about that. What about this geezer who sells drugs?
Rory Breaker's standing by. You stand to make a lot of money, Tubby Tommy.
Big Chris is having a word with Eddie's father, J.D.
I understand if this has come as a bit of a shock. But let me tell you how this can be resolved by you, the good father.
Go on.
He likes your bar.
Yes.
He wants your bar.
And?
Do you want me to draw you a picture?
Look, that boy doesn't know his arsehole from his ear hole. This is my bar. It's got nothing to do with him.
What, and I care? Remember, you do have the luxurious advantage of being able to sustain your son's life.
And you do have a reputation. So I choose my words very carefully. You tell Harry to go fuck himself.
Chris exhales, surprised.
Now?
Chris puts some gum into his mouth.
I'll put that down to shock. Only once. Only once can I, or shall I? You get away with that. Your son's got 3 days to find Harper Mill. But make up your mind which you prefer. Your bar or your son?
Microphones are at a wall vent as Bacon listens through headphones to Dog next door talking to his boys.
Plank goes in first. There's a cage, but it's never locked. Is it, Plank?
Never.
It don't want to be. Right, once he's got himself set, he gets the rest of us in. Now we get nasty with a couple of them. Shit them up, gag them, whatever.
Now, these wankers shouldn't give us any problems. Like any cowboys, could be a few tools lying around. When the job's done, we come straight back here and unload. And Robert's your father's brother. Everyone savvy?
Sweet.
Soap and Eddie and JD's.
Have a look at these.
Two balaclavas.
And what are we supposed to do with these?
Soap slips one on.
Put them on your head, stupid Christ.
Eddie pulls it off.
If you think I'm going to turn up there clean-shaven and greet them with a grin on my face, you've got another thing coming. Now, these fellas, they're your neighbours. I thought it might be a good idea to disguise ourselves a little. Right. Yeah, good thinking, Soap. Well done. I brought weapons as well. Weapons? What do you mean, weapons?
Soap reaches into his jacket.
These? Jesus! Let's keep them covered up, eh?
Eddie rolls up the cloth holding knives.
Can you got anything a bit bigger?
Soap pulls a machete from his belt.
What? What that? What do you think?
Eddie glances around.
I think you need help.
He pushes the knives away.
Bar steward, can we have a couple of drinks, please?
Have you seen your dad? Atchett sent one of his men round.
Oh, shit. When?
Crazy.
He turns to his dad, who punches him. Soap looks J.D. up and down and smiles sickly. Tom's blowing smoke through a musket as Soap, Bacon and Eddie look on.
Where did you get these? A fucking museum?
Nick the Greek.
Bacon's examining one.
How much do you part with?
700 for the pair.
Drachmas, I hope.
Soap takes one.
I feel safer with a chicken drumstick. These are going to do more harm than good.
Bacon opens his musket.
Jesus, Tom. Do these work?
Don't know. They look nice, though, don't they? I rather like them.
Oh, that's top of the list of priorities, that is. Ladies.
Eddie.
Back to more important issues, if you don't mind. We have only got two real guns. Apparently that's what they are. So we find a good place to hide next door. We wait till it sounds like the right time, then we jack in the box, look nasty and stuff, cocoon them in gaffer tape, nick their van, swap the gear into the new van and bring it all back here. As long as we're all out of our hiding places quickly, it's the last thing you're going to expect. Oh, and if Tom, or anyone else for that matter, feels like giving them a bit of a kicking, I'm sure it won't do any harm.
Soap.
Yeah. A little bit of pain never hurt anybody, if you know what I mean. Also, I think knives are a good idea. Big, fuck-off shiny ones. Ones that look like they could skin a crocodile. Knives are good, because they don't make any noise. And the less noise they make, the more likely we are to use them. Shit them right up. Makes it look like we're serious. Guns for show, knives for a pro.
Tom flicks his cigarette.
So, is there something we should know about you?
I'm not sure what's more worrying. The job or your past?
Soap and the boys peer through the Venetian blinds onto the street. Plank and three others climb into a van dressed as removal men.
Where the fuck are they going? Shift the piano? I thought this was meant to be a robbery.
Eddie thinks.
Where'd they get those outfits?
Not a bad idea, there.
Outside Winston's.
All right, it's Plank. Is Willie there?
No, I'm afraid he's not. He's out at the moment.
Perhaps you can help.
Well, perhaps I can't, Plank, if you know what I mean.
Look, if you could just open the door so I could talk without shouting.
I can't help you, Plank.
I think you'll find it is in your interest.
Hold on, OK? Look, Willie, it's Plank outside for you. He says it's in our interest.
Listen, I don't care if it's King fucking Kong. He's not coming in here, not today.
Hold on. We are in business, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that is business?
Corrected. That's a walking accident. That we can do without.
Jesus, he's okay. He knows only to buy weights now. We're looking at least a couple of thou.
What do you think, Winston?
Willie, this is the last time, all right? But you and the money are going out the back. If he knows you're here, he'll be all day. Just clear this shit up.
They're counting money.
What, now?
Yes! Now! Just get rid of him quick.
All right, just coming.
Plank signals the guys in the van to stay cool.
What the fuck is he doing?
Dog's impatient.
Come on! I can't wait out here all day.
All right, just coming.
Jay's at the cage, pressing a code in. Plank steps in.
I thought you was going to leave me out there all day.
I didn't know you were a removals man, Plank.
Lives and learns, didn't ya? Keep the gates locked now, dear.
Yeah. Sorry. Got to do business like this now. Can't be too careful these days.
I know. Shut it! You say a fucking word to White Ear goes. Another one, then you left.
What are you doing, Plank?
What do you think I'm doing? Oi, hang on. What are you doing? Unlock the gate! Oi, I said unlock the fucking gate!
That's it. Go, go, go!
Dog and the gang storm into the cage, Dog knocking the keys from Plank's hand, which he then retrieves.
What the fuck's going on?
Just hang on, I've got the keys!
The gate's locked. I've got the fucking gate's locked. What are you down the front of it?
I didn't touch him, he just passed out.
Don't you stay there, get that fucking door shut. You want the world to see us?
Inside, Winston hears the commotion.
What's going on down there?
Winston and Charles are counting money.
Shit.
Winston stands.
Charles, get the rifle out. We're being fucked.
It must be this one.
Another key.
Plank, give me the keys. Give me the keys, Plank. Don't point that at me, bollocks. Point it in there.
Planks of wood. I'm working with fucking planks of wood.
Dog to someone in ear protectors holding a machine gun.
The fuck is that?
He lifts an ear protector.
What the fuck's that? It's me brain gun. Don't you think you could have bought something a little bit more practical?
An air rifle bullet.
Don't none of you slags move. I killed a fucking liar.
Who are you going to kill, Plank? There's no one fucking near.
Charles fires an air rifle from hiding with Winston and Willie.
Ah! They fucking shot me!
We'll shoot them back!
Plank fires two smoky shots.
Jesus, Plank! Couldn't you have got smokeless cartridges? I can't see a bloody thing. Ah! Shit! I've been shot. I
don't fucking believe this. Could everyone stop getting shot?
John, sit down and patch yourself up. You tight as a fucking air rifle.
The guy with the Bringo lets rip as all hit the floor, covering their ears. Dog rips off the ear protectors.
What the fuck was that?
Well, that was the Bringo.
If you fire that gun again, you're a dead man. Understand? Right. Dead. No ifs, no buts, you're a fucking dead man.
All right.
I've got a bollocker with this. Where's me fucking gun?
John hands it to him. Dog reaches through the cage and props Jay's foot on the bars as the lads watch from hiding.
Right, now I've got your attention. Firstly, I'm going to blow his toes off. There go his toes. Now, if you want me out of here in 5 minutes flat, open the fucking gate as I'm going to blow his leg off.
Charles and Winston.
They're going to fucking kill us if we do, man. Poor Jay'll certainly get it if we don't. He's serious.
I'm losing patience. Hurry up, girls.
It's all right, all fucking right!
Winston to Willie.
Willie, he doesn't know you're here. Just sort something out.
Winston pats Willie, who reaches out to him as he leaves, Charles following. Winston and Charles come slowly down the steps towards Jay's body with its bloody foot.
And all your friends. There's a good lad.
There's only three of us here.
I don't believe you. Fuck, I'm gonna blow his leg off.
I mean it. There's only three of us.
Frank?
Yeah. One of them's out.
Dog picks up the keys and tosses them to Winston.
Now open the gate.
Winston looks at the keys and approaches the cage. Dog comes out staring at Winston, who backs off. Dog shakes his head no. Dog headbutts Winston.
Oh! Oh! Up, 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 there's a good leg.
Dog drags Winston up the stairs, pointing his gun. As they walk past Charles, Plank shoves him, Mickey kicks him in the shins, and John drags him upstairs. Winston and Charles are dumped in the living room.
John, get him tied up. Plank, where's the money?
There, in those shoeboxes.
Dog checks the boxes with increasing fury as he finds them empty. He reloads and points his gun at Winston, who John holds in a headlock.
Where?
Out the back.
In the weed?
Out the back. Point!
With what?
Your fucking hands, now!
I'm tied up.
Bull nod, you read or something?
Check it out. Plank, get Paul out of that van lively.
As Mick walks towards the rear door, Willie waits with a sword, sweating. Ah! Unharmed, Dog rises, hands to ears, as does Plank behind him.
Knife.
Plank hands Dog a knife, and Dog walks towards Willie, lying on the floor.
I'm going to cut him. Make sure he knows he's dead. How you doing, Mick?
How do you think I'm doing? He's fucking nearly chopped me arm off.
Dog grabs Willie. He stares at Willie, then turns away, distracted. Piles of notes.
Jesus Christ.
He lets go of Willie. Paul comes in and follows Dog into the back, where money lies in piles and marijuana plants flourish.
Jenny, what the fuck's been going on here?
Shut up, you idiot. It's Hanukkah. Well, don't you stand there. You got the bags. Can you fill it all in?
It's a lot.
Paul surveys the room, breathing heavily.
I can't get up in Forest in my van.
Can't. I don't know where you can't. Bollocks to can't. You'll fit it all in if you have to make two trips.
Paul loads his van with blue bags, then spots a traffic warden writing a ticket.
Bollocks.
Paul approaches him.
You got a ticket already, and if you don't move it, we will move it for you.
I'll only be a minute.
You've already been 15.
Look. Come on, have a look.
At what exactly?
Well, the van's half full.
So?
So, all I've got to do is fill it up, put you in it.
What?
Paul knocks him out.
And I'm off.
He glances around, then stows the traffic warden among the blue bags. Dog to Plank.
Do you think you can carry more than one bag this time?
I can't. My neck, Dog.
How many more bags?
Just a couple.
Mick, you dead yet?
Mick holds his bleeding arm.
I'll be all right. Once I've dealt with that lanky prick.
Eyes open.
Do it quietly.
Gloria emerges from the sofa cushions as Mick with machete walks towards Willie.
It's time to say goodnight, nurse.
Mick turns to see Gloria with the bringo. Winston and Charles look at each other. Gloria's body vibrates as she shoots unrestrained, riddling Mick, making dog duck. As the empty cartridges fall on the floor, a plank flies through the air. She fires freely around the room, clearing a piano top of its ornaments, making hard men assume the fetal position, hands over ears. Fallout hits Charles and Winston tied up beside each other. A final cartridge falls and Plank's head sticks up above the TV. Dog stands up, facing her.
Where the fuck does she come from?
Dog walks towards her and decks her.
That is it. Tie her up, we're out of here.
Eddie, Bacon and Soap are opening a door with a crowbar. They go inside, then Soap returns to pull the door shut. Inside Dog's office, Bacon and Soap case the joint while Eddie reaches for the kettle.
What are you doing, Ed?
Do you want one?
No, I fucking don't. You cannot make a cup of tea, Edward.
The entire British Empire was built on cups of tea.
Yeah, and look what happened to that.
And if you think I'm going to war without one, mate, you're mistaken.
Going to war with what? Have you forgotten those guns, you dozy brat?
Eddie hesitates, puts the kettle down, and leaves. Dog and Paul get into the van. Plank sits up front, and John's in the back, holding the traffic warden's head up by his hair as he protests.
You won't get away with this.
Dog looks at Warden, then at Paul, now behind the wheel.
What was that? It's a traffic warden.
I can see it's a fucking traffic warden. What's he doing in the back of the van?
He was going to call the cousins.
Plank elbows the warden's face.
Fair enough. We'll deal with him later.
Eddie, balaclava top head, is on the phone.
How are we doing, Tom?
Right as rain.
Near the minicabs.
I'm just going to take care of the cabs.
Keep us posted.
Bacon has one musket under each arm.
All right, mate. Do you do airports?
Tom on the phone to the minicab station. Eddie looks around the office.
Where the hell are we going to hide?
They look around.
Don't complicate things. Just hide.
All three minicab drivers leave the office and Tom gets on the phone as Dog's van pulls up out front.
We're on.
Balaclavas in place, muskets at the ready, hiding places assumed as outside, Dog and the gang get out of the van and start unloading the stuff.
Come on, they wait a pound or two. Shut up and back up!
Soap pins John to the wall.
Spin round, big boy.
Dog raises his hands as Bacon points a musket. Tom tackles Paul as Eddie, armed with a musket, approaches Plank.
Tie him up, tape him up, hands and face.
Eddie's orders.
On the floor! Bend over the fucking desk.
Dog glances sideways warily. Tom tapes Paul's wrists.
Keys. I want keys. Now.
Dog smiles.
I'll find you.
Of course you will, sweetheart.
I'll find you.
What do you think this is? Fucking hide and seek? That one. Search that one.
Eddie moves to Paul and Tom produces keys from his pocket.
Right. I'll see you in the van when you finish with Antimir.
Eddie goes out the door, pulling his balaclava off. Bacon tapes Dog's mouth. A quick pat on Dog's shoulder and the four are off in Dog's van, Soap driving, Bacon in the back.
Jesus, that wasn't too bad, was it?
Tom lights up and passes a cigarette to Soap.
When the bottle in my arse is contracted, I'll let you know.
Bacon, see what we've got.
Let's have a butcher's, eh?
Bacon rummages in the back.
We've
jackpot, lads. God knows how much of this stinking weed. A shitload of cash.
He holds up the warden's hat.
And a traffic warden.
He hands the hat to Tom and hauls the warden up.
Jesus, have we got a traffic warden?
I think he's still alive. He's got claret coming out of him somewhere. What do they want with a traffic warden?
I don't know, but I don't think we need him. Knock him out and dump him at the lights.
Knock him out? What do you mean, knock him out? Knock him out with what?
I don't know. Use your imagination.
Bacon puts him back down.
Don't touch him up. Knock him out.
I'll knock you out in a minute. Look, you want to knock him out? You knock him out.
Tom stays put.
I fucking hate traffic wardens.
After a moment's thought, all but Soap, who's driving, hop in the back and have a go. Harry's at his desk, feet up. Big Chris stands in front of him. Barry sits behind Chris.
It's about time you gave my young friends a visit, Chris.
Harry sits up.
Tomorrow's the day, and mum's the word. Now, I can't have that, can I, Baz?
No, Harry, you can't.
I mean, it's a liberty. And I can't have a liberty taken, can I, Chris?
No, Harry, you can't.
I mean, it's enough to give me the arsehole. And I can't have the arsehole, can I, boys?
No, Harry, you can't.
Nighttime, Eddie's taking bags of dope from Dog's van and passing it to Soap, who stows it in their own van.
All right, that's it. We're done. We're off. Here, Ed.
Are you sure it's a good idea taking this back to yours?
Well, it's the only place we can take it, and it's the last place we're going to look. Anyway, fuck it. The battle is over, and the war is won. Now, Tom, you take this to nick the bubble, then we get rid of it quick.
He gives Tom a small bag, and Tom gets into one van as the other three get into Eddie's. Nick the Greek sits opposite Rory Breaker as a bag is passed to Rory. A man taps Nick's shoulder and gives him a tall drink as behind him, a car race is shown on 8 screens.
It's skunk, and it's as good as it gets.
Rory sniffs it.
All right. We'll take it. Half price.
Nick hesitates, taking his drink.
I don't think you'll like that. You said 3.5 a key, and you know that's a good price.
It was yesterday I said 3.5. And now it's today, if I'm not mistaken. We'll take it tomorrow, half price.
Nick nods.
If he wants to get rid of it quick, he'll have to take it. Now look, I've got a race coming up in a minute, so if you'd just be kind enough to...
Leave, he signals. Nick starts to put his drink on the table he's previously broken, and it falls through. He leaves.
Lenny, take that round to Snow White and the three little chemists. They should have a gander of that. I want a second opinion.
Nathan and Lenny walk up the steps to Winston's.
Hang on a minute, Nathan. Something stinks.
Yeah, your fucking aftershave.
Fuck you, funny mate.
Jay's tied on the floor.
For God's sake, help me. I'm in pain. I'm in so much pain. Jesus.
Go in slowly, Nathan.
Fuck you, funny man. You go first.
Just get the fuck in there, will you?
Dog.
I want this air search for bugs. I mean, I want it stripped.
What is the point in that? Even if there was a bug, they'd have taken it with them.
It's a bit late for you to start thinking, John. If it's a possibility, that's good enough for me. And when you strip this place, I want every slag this side of Salon pulled in and tortured badly. I want to know who's responsible for this. Otherwise, I'm going to hold you responsible.
Tom's counting money while Soap and Eddie watch, and Bacon samples the grass.
Not a bad day. That pile takes care of Harry.
What's left over?
Give me half a chance to count it.
What about this gear, then, eh?
They all look at Bacon, who takes a minute to realise he's being watched.
Oh, what? You want to tug on that?
No, I don't think I want any of that horrible shit. Can we lock up and get drunk now, please?
Winston's between Nathan and Lenny, facing Rory.
We shot one of them in the throat.
What do you want, a medal? I'll shoot you in the fucking throat if I don't get my ganja back.
Winston's eyes dart nervously.
The one you shot, is he still in there now?
Oh, no, it's another one.
That's more like it. Where is he?
Well, they took him with. And he's still alive.
What'd you shoot him with? An air gun?
Winston snorts.
Look, we grow weed. We're not mercenaries.
You don't say.
Who could it be? Where do we start, Rory?
Mr. Breaker. Today, my name is Mr. Breaker.
You think this is a coincidence? This white shite steals my things and thinks that he can sell it back to me. He's got less brains than you, Lenny. Get Nick, the greasy wop, Shistos, Pezavengi, Gamure, Greek bastard round here now, if he's still stupid enough to be on this planet.
In JD's bar, the lads are celebrating. Eddie's knocking back shooters. They're lighting spliffs sticking out of Bacon's ears. They're chucking cards at each other, lighting farts. Pouring drink over each other. Soap's at the piano, Bacon's lying on top of it, having drink poured straight into his mouth. Two bottles are poured simultaneously. Now they're on the floor, Eddie crawling, Bacon doing a headstand. They chuck beer. More farts are lit. Wrapped in tablecloths, they bullfight, then Bacon performs a backflip. And finally they pass out, Tom and Bacon on a bench, Soap at the piano, Eddie on top of it. Rory swivels his chair to face Nick the Greek.
Your stupidity might be your one saving grace.
Huh?
Don't err me, Greek boy. How is it your fucking stupid, soon-to-be-dead friends thought that they might be able to steal my cannabis and then sell it back to me? Is this a declaration of war? Is this some white cunt's joke that black cunts don't get? Because I'm not fucking laughing, Nicholas.
Nick shrugs and looks about to cry.
I know you couldn't have known my position, because you're not that stupid that if you did, you wouldn't have turned up here scratching your ass with that what's going on here look slapped all over your Chevy Chase.
Nick's face twitches.
But what you do know is where these people live.
He swivels again, then gets up, walking towards Nick, stepping into the middle of the tabletop. Nick's broken.
If you hold back anything, I'll kill you. If you bend the truth, or I think you're bending the truth, I'll kill you. If you forget anything, I'll kill you. In fact, you're going to have to work very hard to stay alive, Nick. Now, do you understand everything I've said?
Nick nods fervently.
Because if you don't, I'll kill you. Now, Mr. Bubble and Squeak, you may enlighten me.
Dog's talking to John, Plank and Paul, who look very worried.
So we've got a bit of a problem, haven't we?
Well, yeah. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. In fact, it's a little bit more than a little bit of a problem, isn't it? On a scale of things, you could say it's the Mount fucking Everest of problems. And the reason it's such a mum-fucking-strossy of a problem is you ain't even got a first idea who did this to us, have you?
Dog, we've been up all night. There's no one around here. We've had them all lined up against the wall.
If there's a tow bag from around the manor, we'd know.
You know! You fucking know! You wouldn't have us next door fucking neighbours! Now get out there and find them! I'm sick of that fucking sight! Get out of my fucking sight, you little shit!
Dog throws Plank into the wall and his head goes right through a vent into the neighbours. Ponytail covered in plaster, Plank looks around the recording equipment. In the bar...
Scarface. I've watched Scarface. If you want to know how to do a drug deal, you watch Scarface.
That really inspires confidence, that.
This guy, Rory Breaker.
Rory Breaker? Psychotic black dwarf with an afro?
That'd be the same man, yes.
I heard about him. He's a fucking lunatic.
Well, he can afford to do the deal at the price we're selling. It's not worth him giving us any trouble, because he knows we'll be a pain in the arse, and who needs a pain in the arse?
I'll take a pain in the arse for £500,000.
You take a pain in the arse for air miles.
Tom, the fatter you get, the sadder you get.
Will you two stop flirting for a minute? After we pay at you, this deal puts us up nearly £200,000 each. That's not bad for a morning's work, I think you'll agree.
Dog is dusting plaster from his hair. All his gang are in Eddie's with the money and the grass.
So they had the cash.
And the puff.
Cheeky bastards. Count it.
Shit, Dog, there's a lot. Don't you want to do it next door?
We're not going next door till we flayed them dead men walking.
We'll count it upstairs. I don't even see you fingering the money when I walk through the door.
That dog, look.
Give us it here, dozy bastard. Check your guns. Get yourselves willied. You wait till they get right inside the door. And you give it to them. Giving him shooters, you can use your own.
Paul and Plank hand over the muskets. Dean and Gary are phoning Nick.
Yeah?
That's no way to answer the phone.
Oh, is that you, Dean?
No, it's Lord fucking Lucan. Who do you think it is?
What can I do for you?
You know those guns I sold you? I need them back.
Not likely, I'm afraid. I don't think I'll be seeing them again.
Look, I've got the money to pay for them.
I'm sure you do, but I don't think you understand. I ain't going to be seeing them or the guns again.
Can't get them.
If we can't get them, we can't get them.
Barry.
Well, you'll have to fucking get them.
Look, we made a fucking deal for everything inside the cabinet.
Inside, out, fucking side. I don't give a shit. You get those guns, because if you don't...
Oh, yeah, Buzzard, or what?
Have you heard of Harry Lonsdale? Otherwise known as Accu-Up with an Atty Harry. Well, this is James Bond. Need to know time. When you dance with the devil, you wait for the song to stop. Know what I mean?
Barry passes the phone to Harry.
I mean, find them, torture them and kill them. And bring back what belongs to me. Because if you don't, your family's bang in trouble.
Who's that?
That was Harry Horrible Hatchet.
Jesus, I've heard of him.
We're in shit. They were his fucking guns we sold. We've got to find them.
Back to Nick.
Now, no fucking about now, Nick. Where can I find those guns?
Winston walks down the street, led by Rory and flanked by Lenny and Nathan and two other of Rory's heavies. Nick's busy shifting large wrapped statues and columns. Big Chris crosses the street, lighting up. The lads yawn in their car. Winston sits in Rory's big white van as Tom, driving his car, starts a joke.
Six black cocks and a little white kit sitting on the side of the road.
Nick's still shifting stuff in Rory's van.
We're going to do a proper decoration job. I want the grey skies of London illuminated. I want that ass painted red.
The lads.
All right. This is Brass standing on the corner, right? Dwarf walks up to her carrying a suitcase.
Rory.
Winston there is going to come along and see if he recognises any of them. Now watch out for these fellas. They've got a bit of an arsenal. And they don't mind using it.
And I'm taking down her panties.
Rory.
Now, does everyone here know what they've got to do?
Yeah.
Rory's gang load their guns and rifles. As does Plank, just before he ducks behind Eddie's sofa. John's ready. Paul's ready, too. The eyes of Rory's men are hard and determined. Dog's counting money as Chris gets into his car. Dean and Gary wait in their van as Rory's gang arrives at Eddie's. Inside, Paul smokes a cigarette, waiting. Rory's gang get out of the van at Eddie's, where Plank, John and Paul are hiding, ready. Rory kicks open the front door. And they go in as Dog's gang hide and wait. Eyes wide, Rory seems to sniff the air.
What the fuck is going on?
Plank under a bed readies his gun. And opens fire. A window is shot out. Winston ducks in the van. Dog looks up from his counting, stows the money, and peeks through a door into the mayhem in Eddie's living room. His face gets splashed with blood. He quickly shuts the door and props a Hoover tube against it. He wipes the blood off his face with his forearm and opens a door high above the street, looking out. He chucks the bag full of cash down, grabs the muskets, and jumps. He lands on his feet by Rory's van, where Big Chris waits.
You got something here for me, have you?
Dog glances at the muskets he's holding.
Come on. Chop, chop.
Chris headbutts Dog and takes the muskets, shouldering the bag full of cash.
Thank you very much.
Dean and Gary.
He's got the guns. Where'd you get them?
Why me?
Well, you're supposed to be the hard case.
You go and get the guns. I drive the car.
Chris crosses the road to his car and throws the muskets through the open back door.
Good boy. Oh, get the fucking guns.
I'm not going to get the fucking guns. You get the fucking guns.
Hey, you fucking bitch.
Chris gets into the car beside his son.
Right, wrap them guns up. Count the money. Put your seatbelt on.
Fucking guns!
We've got to get the fucking guns or we're dead!
As Gary pulls off after Chris, Dog gets up and walks unsteadily into the road, trying to stop a mini. It hits him and keeps going.
I'll make sure I fuck the one that was coughing.
Dog gets up, blood on his face and streaming from his ear, and staggers undeterred towards an oncoming car, slamming his hands onto its hood. It stops and he goes to the driver's side, forcing open the door and pulling him out. Dog gets in and drives off, his mouth set with determination. Inside Eddie's, Lenny lies on the floor, eyes open, still clutching his smoking rifle. Like the aftermath on a battlefield, dead men lie in careless poses everywhere, surrounding them nothing but blood and destruction. Winston rushes in and grabs some bags of dope, then hesitates on his way out. Rory stands above Plank, who's still alive, whimpering.
He's the one we shot in the neck.
Is that right, Mr. Botanical?
Rory turns Plank over with his foot and they point their weapons at each other. Winston swallows hard, then walks out. Winston chucks the dope into Rory's van and, glancing back once, gets in. The van just misses the lads.
Jesus!
Bacon and the gang creep up to the front of Eddie's house and peer through the broken and blood-stained Venetian blinds.
I don't believe this. What the fuck has happened there?
Jesus.
Soap gets practical.
The money. The gear.
Tom goes alone inside and steps through the mayhem, shaking his head.
This is fucked. No money. No weed. It's all been replaced by a pile of corpses.
Soap outside.
All right, don't panic. Let's think about this.
No, fuck that. You can think about it. I am panicking and I'm off.
Eddie leaves as Tom runs back out of the house. Harry opens the cloth containing the two muskets as Chris stands by.
How did you get your hands on these then?
The boys had them. I know you like these sort of things. Wondered if you wanted them.
Yeah, I'll have them.
Barry.
Is it hard work getting the money?
Not especially.
Chris opens the bag of cash.
Upset a few characters, eh?
You counted it?
Yeah, it's all there to the pound.
And they were going to pay?
Looks like it, but who knows? The opportunity was there. In my experience, it's best to take that opportunity, if it's there.
Harry hands him an envelope.
Good work, Chris.
Chris pockets it and leaves. As he comes out of the sex shop, Dean and Gary see him from their car.
We've got to get those guns. This is dangerous shit, Dean. We don't even know who lives there. Listen, I don't care who lives there. All I know is that it's preferable to death by hatchets.
Fair enough. Let's go.
Dean and Gary get out of their battered old car and walk towards the sex shop, glancing around nervously as they cross the road. Dean pats Gary's back as they near a door with a sign reading Harry Lonsdale, Porn King. Soap and the boys sit in their parked car, discussing what to do next.
I don't think it's the right move.
Eddie's behind the wheel.
It's either that, the old boy's place, and we lose a digit daily. I'm going to phone him.
Bacon.
As if he'll care.
He'll care, all right. That was supposed to be his money. Whether he cares about us or not is different. Pass me the phone.
Dean and Gary walk towards Harry's office. Dean unzips his anorak and takes out two guns. Harry perches on his desk, cleaning a musket.
Yeah? Oh, that you, boy?
It's Ed, if that's what you mean.
Hi, Diana.
Yeah. I wanted to talk to you about that.
I'll bet you do. I've got 500,000 knickers sitting here, which means some poor sod doesn't.
I've been upsetting a few people, boy.
He loads the musket.
But that really isn't my concern, is it? What does concern me is the guns you had.
I don't want to talk to you about that.
So get your ass over here now. And I do mean now.
He checks the gun's sights. Gary nods at Dean, who kicks the door open. Dean, two guns aloft, stares slack-jawed at Harry, his finger on the trigger of the musket. Dean's glance shoots right and left, eyeing his two small guns as Harry, with a stare as fierce as an eagle's, tightens his trigger finger. Harry swings the musket towards Dean. He shoots Dean. He shoots him again as Dean lies outside the office. Gary rushes to Dean, grabbing the guns. Gary unloads the guns into Harry. Barry heaves a hatchet. Gary shoots back, then sees it's Barry.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Barry's shot in the stomach.
What the fuck are you doing here?
Gary falls over, the hatchet planted squarely between his shoulder blades. Outside, Big Chris chucks his cigarette away and gets into his car.
Job well done. We made a few quid out of that.
No response.
Son? Made a few quid, did you?
It's Dog.
Where's what I want?
A knife at little Chris's throat.
You all right down there, mate? Very fucking funny. Where's what I want? I've just left it in the office. Well, we better go to the office and get it in. That's if you want your son to see his next birthday. Now chop fucking chop. All right. Fair enough.
He reaches for the ignition.
Where you going? It was a 30-second drive or a 5-minute walk. I couldn't have parked outside. I'd have got a ticket. I suppose that don't matter now, does it? Just be careful. Right.
He starts the car. Eddie and the lads pull up near the sex shop.
You and me.
You and who?
You know where the door handle is, Tom.
Eddie and Tom get out and walk to the sex shop. They see Dean dead outside Harry's office.
Oh no, not again.
They look at each other, then walk slowly inside. Tom looks around the open door and sees Barry dead, staring up at the ceiling.
Hey, man, here's a thing you got to see.
That's it. Yeah. I'm off.
Eddie stares straight ahead.
Tom, that is our bag.
Eddie walks carefully across the office, pausing by Gary's hatcheted body, which he looks down at, as Tom stands by the door, his fingers twitching nervously.
That's the bank!
Hey, hold on.
Eddie continues towards the bag. He peers over the bloodstained desk, down onto Harry, his 2 feet up, resting on the desktop. Behind him, Tom moves closer.
This is our bag.
Eddie closes it and starts to lift it up.
That's it, we're off. I'll see you in the car. I'm going to take these guns.
Tom, don't fuck about.
I'll see you in the car.
Tom.
It'll only take a minute.
Eddie leaves and Tom reaches gingerly for a musket.
I'm ready. I can dig scrapping. But I can't.
Back at the car, Eddie tosses the bag to Soap in the back and gets into the front.
What is going on?
I don't know. But what I do know is there's no more Harry. Which means there's no more debt. And if there's no more debt, there's no more problem. And there's no problem with the neighbours because they're all dead. And I think, if I get this right, we haven't done anything wrong and we're in the clear.
He looks at Bacon and Soap. Chris crashes into the lads. Chris's car bashed in sits smoking. There's no movement from either car. Suddenly, Chris gets out and drags an unconscious dog to the driver's door, carefully placing his head halfway out the car and grabbing the car door in both hands. He slams the door on Dog's head repeatedly, then steps on him, punching him in unrelenting fury. Chris spits on Dog, and little Chris gets out and runs off as his father watches. Chris walks to Eddie, unconscious, in the driver's seat.
You all right, mate?
He pushes Eddie back and sees the money.
Cheeky bastard!
He reaches across Eddie, still unconscious, and grabs the bag of money. He slams the car door and walks back towards Harry's office, slowing down as he sees Dean, dead in the hallway, a large wound in his chest.
Now, this was an embarrassing position for Tom to be in, but Chris had to respect the fact that he was holding what appeared to be a pair of loaded shotguns. And Tom had to respect the fact that they were not loaded. So without anybody losing too much face, Tom left through a side door and Chris left with the money and everybody else got arrested.
The traffic warden views Eddie being questioned by police.
He's not one of them.
Sitting in the cheap seats underneath the stars. Eddie, head bandaged, walks outside the police station where JD's barman is standing, smoking a cigarette.
I think your dad would like a word with you, Ed.
Eddie looks around, thinking.
Where are the others?
They got out yesterday. They're back at the bar.
Eddie nods slightly, then walks down the steps to his father's car, which he gets into.
All right, Dad.
I'm all right. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm all right. Could do with a drink, though.
All in good time. All in good time.
So, you in the clear? More importantly, am I?
Eddie looks away.
It appears so.
Appears? You'll have to do better than fucking appears, my friend.
Well, everybody's dead, Dad. I think that's about as clear as you can get. How about that drink?
You know where the bar is.
Hey?
Eddie takes his woolen scarf off.
Don't make yourself too comfortable. Alan's got to sit there. Alan!
They glance out the windscreen, then Eddie, mouth open, turns to his father.
You're lucky you're still breathing, let alone able to walk. I suggest you take full advantage of that fact.
Eddie frowns at his father, puts his scarf back on, and gets out, walking along the wet pavement to the bar. Inside, Bacon and the lads are waiting. JD is also there, watching them.
You took the time. What the hell have you been?
Sit down, I'll tell you.
At a table, Eddie tells his tale.
So the traffic warden identified the neighbours' bodies, which sort of puts us in the clear. The only thing connecting us with the case is those shotguns.
And Tom took care of them.
Tom turns away.
You did take care of the shotguns, didn't you, Tom?
Tom looks at them, mouth open.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
Well, talk?
Well, actually, no.
Looks are exchanged.
I've got him sitting in the car. I was going to sell him back to Nick the Greek, but I'm having a bit of trouble getting hold of him.
You dippy bastard.
So, the only thing connecting us with the case is in the back of your car, which is parked outside.
They cost us 700 quid. I'm not going to throw them away. And they're hardly likely to trace them back to us, are they?
Do you really think it's worth taking the risk for £700?
Tom, you're a dick. Now, you take those guns and you throw them off a bridge.
And throw yourself off while you're at it. Now, Tom.
Tom gets up and starts to leave, then turns back.
Look,
Tom!
He nods with resignation and leaves.
Can I have a beer, please, Dad?
I'm busy. Get it yourself.
Big Chris comes in and JD points to the three lads, still at their table. Chris approaches them, tossing their hold all down.
It seemed Hatchett underestimated you lot. And it seems to have cost him. But I ain't gonna make the same mistake now, am I?
The three stare, transfixed.
I've decided to bring your bag back.
They glance at it.
I think the word you're looking for, gentlemen, is thank you.
Eddie breaks the silence.
Thank you.
Now you've presented me with a problem. I've lost my employer. So I've taken care of myself and my son. Now, if you think that's unfair, you come and pay me a little visit. But you better be waving a white flag high and clear so as I can see it. Or it'll be the last little visit you ever make. You understand?
No response.
That's all I've come to say.
He turns to leave and all three reach for the hold all.
There is one more thing.
They freeze.
It's been emotional.
Outside, Chris lights up and swaggers towards his shiny new sports car in which little Chris sits waiting. Chris exhales, checking out the street, then stops to examine a mark on his car before getting into it.
We are now officially in the money lending business.
You want some?
Put your seatbelt on. We're out of here.
Inside JD's, Eddie unzips the bag and looks inside as the others wait.
It's empty.
Bacon grabs the bag, reaches in and pulls out a large envelope. Soap opens it and all stare at a large paperback book. Tom stops his car on a bridge. The paperback is a copy of Botherby's catalog with a picture of guns on the cover. As Soap opens it, Tom opens the boot of his car. Tom runs his hand lovingly over the muskets, then shakes his head, wraps them in their cloth, and takes them out of the boot. Soap flips through the catalogue and finds a picture of the two muskets Tom now holds as he walks towards the edge of the bridge. Tom glances around, then pushes the guns off the bridge, just as the boys read a detailed description of the two muskets. Below it, the estimated value of the pair, £250,000 to £300,000. The boys scramble for their mobile phones. Still on the bridge, Tom turns back to the edge, looks over, and sees the guns have landed safely, still wrapped up on a lower level.
Don't! You're jamming on mine!
Eddie dials frantically as Tom looks around, then starts to climb over the side of the bridge. Tom takes his mobile out and holds it in his mouth as he grasps a lamppost with his right hand, his left leg on the railing, and reaches with his left hand towards the guns. As Eddie and Soap argue, Bacon dials and Tom's hand reaches the guns. Bacon gets through just as Tom is lifting the guns. Tom, phone in mouth, looks up at his right hand holding the lamppost, his left hand holding the guns, and can't decide what to do. ITFC audio description was by Gloria Hattrick.
I'm 18!